Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Eternal God, as we continue before thy holy presence, it is in thanksgiving and gratitude for all that we have heard. We bless thee again for the dear Savior who came into this world in the fullness of time. We thank thee for his ministry in this earth as he walked among men, as he went about doing good, and then in the great climax of what he came to do, went to the cross of Calvary and there laid down his life as a ransom price that we might be redeemed and saved by grace. We thank thee that he is risen. We thank thee that he is alive forevermore. And in the closing minutes of this meeting, as we come for a short time to your word, we pray that we might be conscious that the Lord is here, that he's working in our midst, speaking in our hearts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Just for a little time, I want to continue with the theme that the choir has been singing, the theme of no greater love. And of course, the text of Scripture brings us to the Gospel of John and the chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. No greater love has been the theme of the cantata choir right from the beginning to the conclusion and the piece that we have listened to today. And it is indeed what Jesus taught, that there's no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. You will know that Christ is giving great emphasis in this particular portion of the Bible to the subject of love. And especially the love that Christians ought to have, the one for the other. It's not long before the cross now. In fact, the next morning, the Lord Jesus Christ would be taken and he would be crucified. And here he is, seated together with his disciples around the table. They have just celebrated the Passover and they have also instituted the Lord's Supper. And the Lord has things to say of immense importance. I commend the whole passage to you from towards the end of chapter 13 right through to the end of chapter 16. This is the table talk of Jesus Christ to his own precious disciples. In chapter 17, he will pray the great high priestly prayer. Then they will take their journey across the brook Kidron. They will go to the Garden of Gethsemane where the Lord will sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground in that agony of prayer as he intercedes before his Father. Judas would then come with the mob and betray the Lord with that kiss of betrayal. Christ will be led away. He will be brought to the palace of Caiaphas, then over to Pontius Pilate, then to Herod for a little time, and back to Pontius Pilate, where he is sentenced to the death of crucifixion. And they will take him and crucify him upon the cross. This is going to happen just the next morning. But now the disciples are at the table with Christ. And he wants to talk to them about something very important. He wants to speak on the subject of love. Look towards the end of the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John and mark with me verses 34 and 35. Where Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I would like just now to go through the rest of the talk of Christ and point out all the verses where the Lord Jesus talks about this very thing, where he talks about the love that we ought to have for one another. But for sake of time, I will move on. That love that we are to possess for each other is founded upon and based upon the love that Jesus had for us. And if you take that passage of Scripture, and I've commended it to you, and go through it and mark all those portions that deal with this subject, you will discover that Jesus is saying to his disciples, and he's saying to all of his disciples that are here, because I have loved you, I want you to love one another. He is also saying to them The aim of the love that you are to have towards one another is the very love wherein I have loved you. That is the benchmark, that is the standard that the Lord is giving to his disciples. He also tells them this will be the sign of true discipleship. If you are truly mine, you're a follower of mine, Jesus said, the world will know that you are my disciples by the love that you have, the one towards the other. And he is saying to them, I am your example. I want you to look to me, and I want you to see my love. And then I want that love to be reflected in you. And the ultimate proof of your love for someone else rises to its climax in self-sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, we have seen examples of that in history. We just need to think of the two world wars, and we will see example after example of men and women who laid down their lives for their friends, who paid the ultimate sacrifice. 9 million men died in the First World War. 750,000 of them came from this United Kingdom. 70 million died in the Second World War, and approximately 500,000 were from this country. Greater love hath no man than this. Now, of course, Jesus is speaking about himself, but he's also speaking about others who will lay down their lives. They will lay down their lives for their faith. They will lay down their lives for their friends. Loved ones died for the highest possible purpose. On the 9th of April, 1918, so it's just 100 years ago, Theo Chadburn, a miner from Sheffield, wrote to his wife, Lily. He was a sergeant in the 13th Battalion of the York and Lancaster Regiment serving in France. This was to be his last letter. 3 days later, he was killed, rescuing others from a burning building. His own body was never found. I am daily thinking about you, he wrote to Lily and his 6-year-old daughter May, and constantly hoping and trusting God for the reunion. May he grant us that privilege. I believe that I have still a work to do for him. I believe that every day I learn more of his goodness, and I'm waiting his pleasure to be able to do a work for him in conjunction with my dearest wife. Heartbreakingly, this letter arrived home after Theo's death. You see, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends, and this soldier did just that. But of course, the greatest example is that which we find in Christ. We parallel this verse with what we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And here we read in this text that Jesus is saying to his disciples, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. There's not greater love to be found in the entire universe than the love that Jesus Christ had for men and women. And just as we close this time together and we've heard about the great love of Christ and what has been sung today, I want to set before you just 4 simple things that tell us about the greatness of the love of Christ. The love of Christ is greater, and it can be seen in the fact that Christ died voluntarily. You want to mark the words that we have in our text, laid down. The Lord Jesus laid down his life. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus is speaking about himself as the good shepherd. The good shepherd that giveth his life for his sheep. And then he says this, I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power or authority to lay it down. And I have authority to take it again. The act of Christ's death in his sacrificial offering upon the cross was voluntary. He not only came down from heaven and set aside his glory and his majesty for a season, but he laid down his life. Not his gold, not his silver, not his riches. For all the wealth and the riches of this world are his. And lest we should ever think for one moment that what we have is mine and in a sense they are loaned to us, let us remember that everything in this world created by God himself is God's and everything belongs to him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and he owns the wealth of every land. But Jesus didn't come to lay down his wealth. He came down to lay down his life. Nothing is dearer to man than himself, the life that he has. And Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of glory, the infinite and eternal Son of the Father, the very Prince of life, he laid down his own life. It could never be forced from him. It could never be taken from him by men or by devils. It was laid down freely and voluntarily. And the one motive is love, that infinite love of God. Oh, come with me, visit Calvary, where my Redeemer died. His blood, it fills the fountain, 'tis full, 'tis deep, 'tis wide. And as you visit Calvary, I want you to view the Lord Jesus Christ there upon the cross, the sacrifice for sin. And I want you to know it was a voluntary act. Laid down his life freely. Secondly, the greatness of the love of Christ can be seen in the fact that Christ died substitutionally. And you want to mark in the text the word for. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. That word is so important. It means in the place of, in the stead of, for the sake of. It is indeed the very heart of the gospel. If you want to know what the very central message of the gospel is, here it is in the word for. It is the substitutionary death of Christ. How that the Lord came and he stood in our place. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was made a curse for us. He tasted death for every man. Christ once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. Oh, my friends, learn afresh. He stood in our place. I can hardly take that in. Greater love hath no man than this. All that I deserve because of my sin, for eternity in hell, the Lord Jesus came and he took that upon himself. He died for me. I was condemned. I was sentenced. I deserve to go out into a lost eternity forevermore. But Jesus Christ took my place. He died for me. Jehovah lifted up his rod, O Christ, it fell on thee. Thou wast sore stricken of thy God. There's not one stroke for me. That's the gospel. Because Jesus Christ was smitten, we will not be smitten. Because Jesus Christ died, we don't have to die eternally. The greatness of the love of Christ, seen first of all in that he died voluntarily, secondly in that he died substitutionally, and thirdly, Christ died sacrificially. You want to mark the words, his life. He gave his life. He laid down his life. Christ must die. There was no other way whereby we could be saved. His life must be taken. The sacrifice must be made. Now, the word of God tells us that he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. I would commend to you the reading of Hebrews chapter 10. It's a marvelous chapter. And I would have you to mark the words that we read in that chapter. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of transgressors. There must also of necessity be the death of the testator. or the covenant victim. For that's what the word means. Jesus was the covenant victim who entered into covenant with his Father that he would come and he would lay down his life for his people. It cost Christ his life that you and I might live. And then fourthly, my final point is that the greatness of the love of Christ is seen in the fact that Christ died reconcilingly. And you want to mark the word friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And the word friends is used here because that's who the Lord Jesus is speaking to. He's talking to the friends that are gathered around the table, his own dear and beloved disciples. But that was not always so. They were not always his friends. No, they were like you and I, enemies of God, strangers to God, living in this world without God, without Christ, without hope for time and eternity. But Jesus died to take away the enmity, to remove the sin. It's the sin, you see, that separates us from God. It's the sin that causes the condemnation of God to come upon us. And it's sin that will take us to hell. But Jesus came to remove that sin. Our sin that condemned us and separated us and sentenced us. Reconciliation. What a marvelous word. And that's what we need. To be brought from this place where we're the enemies of God, where we are the ungodly, where we're sinners condemned and unclean, to this place where we are the friends of Christ. And that can only be done because Jesus Christ died. And in the greatness of his love and sacrifice, he made us friends, those who come to trust in him as their Redeemer. What about you today? You've come to this church and you've listened to the marvelous words of Christ and the marvelous words of Scripture. We have been led all the way through from the time when Christ was baptized and revealed to the world in his earthly ministry, through his temptation and his life, and now to the cross and his resurrection. What does it all mean to you? I want to tell you, this is the greatest love ever. Greater love hath no man than this. Have you come to know the love of Christ? You come to know your sins forgiven? Do you know what it is to be reconciled to a holy God and be brought from the enemy of God to be the friend of Christ? You can this day by redeeming love. May God bless you, speak to you, awaken you, open your eyes, that you might see the Savior for Jesus' sake. We're going to sing the closing hymn on this resurrection day. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. It's a marvelous hymn of victory, and we want to sing it with all of our hearts. And Sylvia will be conducting the choir, keeping them all in good time. And you can probably watch Sylvia better than me if you're going to be kept in the best time. But let's sing it unto the Lord's great glory. And then we're going to pronounce the benediction. And there'll be just one little announcement that I want to make. And then those that are not staying for the Lord's table can leave. I'll not be going to the door so that you can get out in good time. Thank you. take your seats and we'll pray. And Lord, this is our confidence. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We think of the multiplied trials that come even to the child of God. And yet to know that our Savior is the one who is upon the throne and in control of all things that happen in this world, we can face every tomorrow with him. For he has a plan and a purpose. Bless your people. Help us to rejoice in the living Christ. Bless those that know not the Savior. Bring them to the Savior today. May they look away to the cross and know what it is to get under the covering and the value of the blood of Christ. Dismiss us now in your fear and with your love upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just one final thing that I want to say.